This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, let's go around the NFL. I'm not going to lie, for a moment, right when I said all right, I was like, damn, am I jumping off sides at the wrong segment?
That's even worse.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I clearly wasn't jumping off sides.
You started pass blocking when it was a run play.
I had that moment where, you know, you clench up. You're like, oh. And I was like, no, I'm good. Yeah. But let's go around the NFL now. We were just talking about it in our question of the day. Saluting Mike Patrick, a legendary ESPN broadcaster who passed away yesterday at the age of 80 years old. He was the inspiration for our question of the day because he was the voice that explained to us for the first time on ESPN the first and 10 line that is kind of interposed over the broadcast that we have become so enamored with. We were asking what are some of the greatest innovations in sports in honor of that. And a few of them that I kind of missed during the segment that I want to circle back around to that y'all talked about, the Skycam. Mm-hmm. And then obviously now we've gotten to a place where we're getting drones even. But getting that different perspective than the just normal broadcast view that we've seen for so long, it was very interesting. Pitch clock is one of the more recent ones.
Yeah.
That has brought the game into a certain speed that is like, really, I think, I don't know that you can, well, you can overstate it, but I feel like, I don't know that it has necessarily been overstated in how much more accessible it's made the game. It's tougher on these pitchers, I'm sure, with the tempo, but it's made the game a lot more interesting.
Yeah,
instant replay.
Yeah, I mentioned that. I guess it was, I looked it up before I was even born when it came out, but I just remember as a kid marveling at it.
Yeah, but not even just like slow-mo. Like, the idea, hey, we're going to look at this.
Oh, I got you.
Just looking at this again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then one that I'm going to mention just because I know it might actually get into my guy Lopez, and it's because Houston, it's a Houston thing. Dome stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
Huge.
No.
Huge.
No, that's,
and retractable even.
That's enormous. I mean, one particular dome. No, I'm not going
to
say.
No, don't do it. Nope. All right, so let's continue around the NFL. And actually, I want to go to Mike Patrick because he has Houston ties in ways because he was on the call for a few important, super important Texans situations. Let's start with the one that isn't as fun, which is the Music City Miracle. He was on the call for that.
Dyson and Bird are deep. Taken by Neal. He gives it to Wycheck. Wycheck, that looked like a forward pass. Taken by Dyson. Dyson's down the sideline. Dyson's going to go all the way. And there is no flag. There are no flags on the play. It is a touchdown, but we need to look at that replay.
All that's missing is the band.
That's right. That's the only thing missing.
That's so good. It was forward, Pat, lateral, but that's okay.
Were you in the stadium for that?
No, I didn't cover
you didn't
that.
Cover that one. You probably watched this copy.
That was a forward pass.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I was doing.
You were just yelling at the TV.
Forward pass.
That's exactly what I was doing.
Yes, I thought that was, I mean, it's crazy how loud that was. Mm-hmm. Like, it is crazy just how loud that was.
I like the announcer saying, no flag, no flags.
Yes, you can tell he started out in radio.
Yeah.
It does stink that we have that has to come back around to TV so often that broadcasters can't immediately go to a place of celebration because you don't have as many of those great calls because you have to be, you have to kind of temper it.
Joe Buck do that a lot, too.
Yeah, he does.
Like a kickoff. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, he's at the 10, the 5. There are no flags.
That's the best part.
Which, that's vital information because I can't see the whole field.
Because sometimes they blow their load in that one little celebration. Hey, they do. They go all out like they won the game.
They're like, oh, wait a minute.
No,
bring
it's
that back.
Flag.
Wait a minute.
Hope
it's
you still got
flag.
Something in the tank. Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so I got that one out of the way so that we can circle back around to the one that I'm sure will make everybody smile. It was the literal first game of the franchise against the Dallas Cowboys, and Mike Patrick called the first touchdown in Texans history.
Cowboys come with 4. Carr with time. Complete down to the 5. Diving for the end zone. Touchdown, Billy Miller. Are you kidding me?
I was there for that one. That's for dang sure. And anyone who's been listening a long, long time, we were playing odds on who's going to, you know, radio odds on who's going to score the first touchdown in Texans history. Billy Miller right here, baby. I called it. Billy Miller. Go back and go back to the archive.
Nobody's going to do it.
Get the tape. Get nobody's the tape.
We're going to have to look at it. Let me hit a Mark Vandermeer.
It's on the tape. Actually, I wasn't at this station. But
nobody's going to do it.
It's on the tape. And some of our longtime listeners will remember that. I was like, hey, he did score the first touchdown.
Appreciation to Lady T, who was like, that was the last time the Cowboys scored a touchdown. Hilarious. This is where I raise my hand and acknowledge that I am still a youth to some degree, because like Mike Patrick's tenure, like all of these things don't hit me in the same way that I think they do for others, because like, I mean, and he worked up until like relatively recently, like within the last decade or so.
Mm-hmm.
But I just, it does not really hit me in that same way as some of the even more modern broadcasters.
I think Mike Patrick had one of the most important roles in college football history. And some of the younger people don't remember this. If you're in your 40s and beyond, you do. He was the first, when ESPN started Thursday night college football, that ESPN initiated that, came up with it. And back in the day, in the late, early 90s and beyond, Thursday night college football was enormous games. It wasn't like, you know, Eastern Michigan versus so-and-so, as you often see now. It was Penn State, Notre Dame. It was, you know, Arkansas and Texas. It was big games on Thursday night. And Mike Patrick was the one that called the majority of those early on. That's what I remember him at first for. Yeah.
All right. So, again, salute to him. Passed at 80 yesterday. Appreciation to a very good career in the sports space. All right, as we continue around the NFL, we are one day away from the NFL draft. And, you know, all the talk is getting real heavy. I would like to start with a little bit of lying season or no lying seasons. All right here, Lopez?
I am good.
I will take you to the Max Crosby podcast. I don't know what it's called, but I mean, there's too many podcasts. I'm sorry. I apologies to Max Crosby. Please don't see me about it. I know you're a big human being that would make me hurt. However, I just don't necessarily know what's happening.
You're from the Dallas area too, ain't he?
I have no idea.
I think so.
I think he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
All right. Shout out to Max Crosby and all that. But on his podcast, he had a guest, a man named Shador Sanders. And he was asked to give his Mount Rushmore of pass catching, passer and catcher duos. And so, I mean, he had, after he put in Brady and Gronk, which that feels like the right answer there. If you're going to have Brady tied with anybody, Brady and Gronk feels right. He went Rodgers and Devontae Adams. That feels like a good answer. I don't remember who his third was, but this is who he capped out his Mount Rushmore of those duos with.
Whoever is going to be the quarterback when the for DK Metcalf and George Pickens, whoever that is.
Gee, I wonder what his intent was there.
He giving away game, line season or no line season, Lopez? Is this him telling us that he knows where he's going to go?
No, I don't think he knows where he's going to go, but I do think this is why people talk about his interviews not going well and all this other. I think most of that is made up stuff based off of his public persona, you know? And this is what people kind of eye roll over.
I thought his favorite team was the Browns. Remember he's playing Madden? He says his favorite team is
that's right.
Browns.
He has done that a number of times.
My God.
Was also a time where he was hanging out with his pops, and his pops was kind of basically poking at him about, like, New York, kind of intimating that he would go to the Giants. Are they just doing the thing where they're going to, whatever the mocks are saying, they're just like, hey, this is where he's going to be?
I don't know if it's smart or if it's a little bit embarrassing, a little bit, man.
I think it's more than a little bit embarrassing.
Because it seemed like he's just trying to, hey, team, pick me, please.
Yes.
Pick me, please.
Yes.
It seemed like he just want to go wherever he's wanted.
No, I totally agree. And I think this is where people get that. It just rubs people the wrong way.
It's interesting because
Montana to Rice, by the way, is the right answer.
Ah, yeah.
I mean, it's not even close. It's not even close.
That is a really good one.
I have no argument with that.
Yeah. That is a great one.
Yeah.
If you were
just
gonna
ask your dad. Yeah. Ask your dad about that.
You ain't gotta ask him. Hey, I wasn't even around during that time, and I could have told you that.
Now I'm thinking about like the other potential duos that you could throw up there. Like you could put
put Brady DeMoss.
That's what I was thinking.
How much longevity do you need there? But yes,
that was legendary, man.
that was one of those where it was like, oh yeah, this can go to a different level. It's like, yeah, Brady's pretty good. And it was like, oh, well, I can throw to Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Just throw it up there, man. It'll go very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So there's that, but then there's also other news when it comes to around the NFL as we head towards the draft. And one of them has to deal with the number five selection in this NFL draft. Do you know who's selecting number five, Lopez? I like doing this, although I probably should stop because it doesn't.
Who's selecting number five? I can tell you right now. That would be, off the top of my head, that would be Jacksonville.
That's right. It is the Jacksonville Jaguars. And
are they going to get a running back? Tell me it's not going to be Ashton Jenkins.
Mason Graham had been talked about a ton at this. He's been mocked a ton, right? Yeah. Getting them an interior defensive line, a defensive tackle. But there's a little bit of a talk about the possibility of somewhere else that they can go. This is Jeremy Fowler, I believe, talking about what the Jags might do at five.
I'm hearing that Jenty is in play for the Raiders among a few options. They're also looking at offensive tackle potentially, but there's some momentum around the Raiders and Jenty. I'm told Jenty would love to play for the Raiders. They are atop his wish list as far as what the player wants. We'll see what the team wants, but this is an option that clearly will go somewhere in the top 10 to 12. I haven't talked to one team who thinks he would slip out of that range. In fact, Jacksonville at number five could be a sleeper option for Jenty as well.
Yeah, and we've seen that mock association happen a couple of times with some mock drafts of Jenty to five. There's that, but then also Fowler went further to say one GM that he spoke to thinks wide receiver isn't off the table for Jacksonville in the first round so that they could pair Brian Thomas Jr. with someone like Tetairoa McMillan. Which one of those scares you more as an opponent that will have to face the Jaguars? The idea of adding a high-level wide receiver two to go along with that, because they do still need wide receiver in some ways, or the blue-chip running back in Ashton Jenty.
In a bubble, I would say Ashton Jenty. I think he's going to be so good in the NFL. But let me just reiterate, don't worry about the Jaguars.
You're holding steady to that, huh?
Don't worry about the Jaguars.
Okay. All right.
I hope you're right, man.
The magnificent Gladstone and everything else and Duval and all that stuff. Nah. Don't worry about the Jaguars.
Another duo that came in, they said Large Benjamin and Antonio Brown. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I put that nearly as high, but I see what you're doing there. That was definitely a terrifying matchup there. All right. This is something that's kind of going forward, but ESPN kind of has been the home of the NFL draft for a very long time, and there's been kind of talk around the NFL about the possibility of, like, I mean, clearly they're building up this product to then bring it back to the market and see if they can drive up the price again and shopping it out. According to John Allrand of Puck, ESPN, quote, appears likely to renew an agreement with the league and to continue to broadcast the draft. It's been 46 years and counting. And so ESPN's optimistic that it remains with ESPN. Obviously, there's the simulcast, or the association with the NFL Network and such. But it feels like this is where it'll stay. However, it also feels like ESPN or the NFL would really like this to go a lot more into the regular broadcast TV as opposed to remaining simply in the cable space, right?
You know what's funny about ESPN and the draft? And you said 46 years, which is amazing. I really don't. It's not one of those products that I associate immediately with ESPN anymore. Like, remember the SEC on CBS?
Yes.
Like, that kind of hurt my heart, because it's just like, man, it's the SEC on CBS. I don't have that same feeling with the draft in ESPN, maybe it's because it's on NFL Network, because ABC, the actual ABC does a lot
of it.
That's
true. They do simulcast that as well.
So it doesn't hit me, the same way as some of these other associations do.
All right. So, yeah, I just found that to be interesting that ESPN seems like, and it does seem like it's a large part of what ESPN does this time of year, is just having having all that conversation, as a lot of programs or rather networks will, but it's a little bit different when you have that partnership with the league. All right, a couple more things before we go. Brock Purdy showed up to voluntary offseason workouts, and we know that they're still trying to hammer out a deal for him going forward on whether he will continue to be the quarterback beyond his tenure there, or his rookie contract, and if he does, at what cost. We talked a little bit about that. But then also, George Kittle did not show up to voluntary workouts, and that speaks a little bit because they supposedly remain far apart on the possibility of a new contract, and he's entering the final year of his deal. And it, like, we've talked about this in some ways, but it does feel like the Niners are getting to this point where they might not be able to hold this thing together in the way that they to remain at the top of the NFC.
I mean, yes, but I feel like this is going to be worked out. Like, they're going to pay Purdy. I think we can all almost, even if we don't necessarily agree with it, the premise of it, I think they're going to. And if they do that, they have to pay George Kittle. I mean, it's not even a choice. You got to figure out how to do it.
Yeah.
So this whole far apart thing, that's a lot of times that's just agent talk and stuff like that. You know?
Well, yeah. He's doing the things where he tries to apply pressure.
Yeah.
Volunteer workouts. I will not volunteer. You will not see me. So we'll see if that necessarily.
That's going to tick off Kyle Shanahan.
I volunteer to not go.
Yeah, that's right. We'll see how much it upsets. I feel like in his position, with how comfortable he is with the offense, he's been there for a long time. Clearly, he understands how it works. Him not being at voluntary workouts, I feel like that's probably not the biggest deal. But if it sends a message to the organization that, hey, let's get this done, I'm sure that
wait to CJ start not volunteering for volunteer workout.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, brother.
This station going to blow up.
Yes, it will.
Don't make me think about that till we have to get there.
Yeah. Oh, he's just another Aaron Rodgers. Yeah.
Well, I don't know that we'll ever say that in particular. And if we do, I kind of want to see what would have to happen for us to liken C.J. Stroud to Aaron bleeping Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, boy, that would be quite a roller coaster to get there. All right, and real quick before we go, I did want to throw out the weirdest and most niche stat that I saw yesterday. So Pope Francis passed on Sunday on Easter. And with his passing, only one team from the NFL, NBA, and MLB, those three leagues, did not make the playoffs during his papacy. What team is it, John Lopez?
From all three leagues, just one.
Between the NFL, the NBA, and the MLB, there was one team that did not make the playoffs at any time during his papacy.
When did he start? Oh, it was like about 10. He hadn't been there that long, about 10 years? 12 years? Something like that?
That is, I really should know what the actual date is.
It's not necessary.
It was 2013, March 13th of 2013.
Yeah, so 12 years. I figured it was about that long. So I'm going to have to not make the playoffs.
It probably also, to give you a hint, remember what segment we're putting this in.
Yeah, it's got to be the Cleveland Browns.
It is not.
No?
They were just in the playoffs.
The Browns were just in the playoffs.
They were in the playoffs here.
Yeah.
All right, would you like one more guess, or should I turn it over to Figgy to give you the answer?
Who is it, Figgy?
J-E-T-S, Jess.
Of course. Yeah.
They suck.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Man, they've been really bad,
They're so bad. Yeah. They're so bad.
Goodness gracious. I didn't realize it had been that long they haven't been in the playoff.
Last time was, wasn't it Mark Sanchez? It was the Sanchez out there.
I think so, man.
So, best of luck, Aaron Glenn. You got your work cut out for you, brother. Mm-hmm. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next. Yesterday we talked about the idea of the Astros win on Monday being the best win of the season. Did we get the best sign of the Astros season yesterday? Let's talk about that next.